just for women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hi there. I know you're busy, you're making cookies, and you're probably wrapping presents or getting them, and you're sticking them in the closet, hiding them from the children, and there's a bit of excitement, plus franticness in your timetable. I know, Christmas is a very busy time. I want to talk to you about something today that maybe you won't like, and it was rather hard for me to accept and understand, and I'm still thinking about it. I've read this before, but today I want to read from the Biblical Discernment Ministries. Rick Mysel, he's the author of this. It's his October-December 2000 issue. It's called Should a Christian Celebrate Christmas? He talks about the origin of Christmas. Will you listen? Just listen. Try to have an open mind. I know it's very hard to have an open mind. Christmas was not celebrated nor commemorated in any way by the apostles, nor was it celebrated in the apostolic church, not for at least 300 years of church history. Such celebration only came into the church with the Christianization of pagan rites, as Catholicism was made the state religion by Constantine in the 4th century A.D. History reveals that by about 440 A.D., the church at Jerusalem started celebrating Christmas, following the lead of Roman Catholicism. Seemingly forgotten is the essential role religion played in the world of ancient Rome, but Constantine understood. Oh, yes, he did. A brilliant military commander, he also had the genius to recognize the need for a union between paganism and Christianity. Hence, Constantine introduced the Babylonian mystery religions in 313 A.D. as he tried to incorporate the pagans into the newly constituted Holy Roman Empire. The Constantine-led Roman Church was willing to adapt and adopt pagan practices in order to make Christianity palatable to the heathen. Thus, pagan rituals and idols took on Christian names. For example, Jesus Christ was presented as the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, Son of Righteousness, Malachi 4:2. Replacing the sun god, S-U-N god, Sol Invictus. Pagan holidays were reclassified as Christian holidays, holy days. December 25th was the victory of the sun god, S-U-N god, festival in the pagan Babylonian world, and a celebration of the festival of Saturn, Saturnalia, or winter solstice in the ancient Roman Empire. To all ancient pagan civilizations, this date was the birthday of the gods, the time of year when the days began to lengthen and man was blessed with a regeneration of nature. Moreover, all the December 25th Babylonians and Roman festivals were characterized by celebration periods of unrestrained revelry and licentiousness. December 25th was particularly important in the cult of the Mithras, a popular deity of the old Roman Empire. Robert Myers, a proponent for celebrating Christmas, in his book Celebration says, and I quote, "Prior to the celebration of Christmas, December 25th in the Roman world was the natus solstice Invicti, the birthday of the unconquerable sun, S-U-N. This feast, which took place just after the winter solstice of the Julian calendar, was in honor of the sun god, Mithras, originally a Persian deity whose cult penetrated the Roman world in the 1st century B.C. Beside the Mithraic influence, other pagan forces were at work from the 17th of December until the 23rd. Romans celebrated the ancient feast of Saturnalia. It was commemorative of the golden age of Saturn, the god of sowing and husbandry," unquote. But as mentioned earlier, Christianity had to be made palatable to the heathen. So the Roman church simply took the festival of Saturnalia, I have a hard time with that word, excuse me, adopted it into Christianity, and then eventually many of the associated pagan symbols, forms, customs, and traditions were reinterpreted, Christianized, in ways acceptable to Christian faith and practice. Thus, by giving Christianity official social status, Constantine brought internal peace to the empire. The pagans flocked into the Catholic places of worship because they were still able to worship their old gods, only now under different names. It mattered not to them whether they worshipped the goddess Mother and her child under the old name Isis and Horus, or under the names of the Virgin Mary and the Christ Child. Either way, it was the same old idol religion. After the Reformation, godly Protestants in Europe were absolutely opposed to Christmas. The Puritans and nonconformists in England despised it. In 1644, when the Puritans controlled the Parliament, it was declared that no observation of Christmas was to be had on December 25th, but instead it was to be observed as a normal market day. It was called the Profane Man Ranting Day. At that time, troops would actually break up Christmas celebrations, tear down decorations, and arrest anyone holding a service on that day. Some who celebrated it in Europe were also thrown into prison. American settlers, so-called Protestant America, rightfully considered Christmas a popish holiday. In fact, it was only in the early 1800s that several founding members of the New York Historical Society invented Christmas. Before then, it was illegal in colonial Massachusetts to even take off work on December 25th. Christmas was forbidden as unseemly to ye spiritual welfare of your community. Christmas was banned in Massachusetts in 1659, and this law remained for about 20 years. In Boston, public schools stayed open on Christmas, December 25th, until as late as 1870. It wasn't until 1836 that any state declared Christmas a holiday. That was Alabama. And then there were no more state declarations until the Civil War. The so-called Christmas customs and traditions were later concocted more for commercial purposes than for religious. Quoting from a 1223-83 USA Today article about Christmas, quote, "A broad element of English Christianity still considers Christmas celebrations a pagan blasphemy. The Puritans, Baptists, Quakers, Presbyterians, Calvinists, and other denominations brought this opposition to early New England, and strong opposition to the holiday lasted in America until the middle of the 18th century." End of quote. Henry Ward Beecher, a Congregationalist, wrote in the 1874 of his New England boyhood, quote, "To me, Christmas is a foreign day, and I shall die so. When I was a boy, I wondered what Christmas was. I knew there was such a time because we had an Episcopal church in our town, and I saw them dressing it with evergreens and wondered what they were taking the woods in the church for, but I got no satisfactory explanation. A little later, I understood it was a Roman institution, Romanish, kept by the Romanish church." End of quote. Today, the very popularity of Christmas should cause the Christian to be at least a little bit suspicious of it. Anyone and everyone can celebrate Christmas without question. Outright pagans, nominal Christians, and even Buddhists and Hindus. If, in reality, December 25th were a date set by God to remember the birth of Jesus, there is no doubt that the world would have nothing to do with it. After all, God has commanded one day in seven, the Lord's Day, to worship Him. Does the world observe it? Of course not. It shuns anything pertaining to true religion. But, as expected, the world loves Christmas, all the while hating the Lord Jesus Christ. John 15, 18, 23-25. Notwithstanding the true origin of Christmas, in the end, it all boils down to this. Nowhere in scriptures are we commanded to commemorate the birth of our Lord. God the Father evidently deemed it unwise to make the date known. Hence, it will always remain unknown and is not to be ceremoniously remembered and celebrated. In fact, God has warned us about getting entangled with any special days. Galatians 4:10. Notice, though, that we are commanded to remember Him in His death. But no special day was specifically mentioned for that. "Take, eat," Jesus said. "This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Luke 22:18-19. And 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. To commemorate His death is scriptural. Any day of the year will do. To commemorate His birth is non-scriptural, even extra-scriptural. Deuteronomy 12:32. Revelation 22:19. Whether one chooses December 25th or any other day, it's really unscriptural. The Apostle Paul says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross," not in the manger, "of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Galatians 6:14. By itself we find no salvation in the birth of the Lord Jesus, for salvation was only made possible through His death, His shed blood, and resurrection. Our focus should be on the cross and our ascended Savior, not in a cradle. Dear girl, dear mother and father and grandpa, don't talk to fathers, but they may be handy. Dear women, can you rethink what you're doing right now in preparation for the Lord's Day, birthday? We have no calendar for it. We are not told to remember Christmas. We can have family gatherings. We can give gifts. But we don't need to say we're celebrating Christmas, because Christmas is not really a ritual celebration. Oh, Lord in heaven, help us. Help us as women to direct our families in the right way, in scriptural way. Let us draw their attention to the death of Christ and his burial and resurrection. Let us help our children to see Jesus in proper light, not as a little baby, a helpless little baby, but as the Savior of the world.
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over this same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
They said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. John 20, verse 13. Hi, everybody. I know you're very busy, and you're wondering what I'm going to say today. Well, to tell you the truth, sometimes I wonder myself. Last time I gave you some words from the Biblical Discernment Ministries letter, it was Should a Christian Celebrate Christmas? And I'm sure that you took to test some of the things that I said, some of the things that I inferred. I just want you to know that I didn't always think there was something wrong with Christmas. It has always been a family time. It's always been a song time. It's always been fun time. Of course, I never did believe in Santa Claus, even as a child. He was always pretend. There were many things about Christmas that were good and many things that were bad for a child. I remember when I got out of the hospital the first Christmas, it was absolutely amazing when I opened those doors. I didn't know for years that many of those toys that I saw there by the Christmas tree were toys that had been mine before I went to the hospital 3 years ago, and I had no memory of them. But my husband has not been a big champion of Christmasing, and he's always wanted me to cut down. And as the years have gone by, I've understood why. First, it was because of the expense. I used to buy presents for everybody and his brother. But I could. I like to give presents. I like to give things away. But he said immediately after we were married, worried that we weren't going to do that. It was hard for me sometimes not to give the people that I loved a gift. But true, it put us very much into debt if I would do that. So I've learned to cut down on Christmas quite a bit. And then I went through the period of time of saying, well, I'll put Christ into Christmas. And that sort of solved my conscience, solved it like a salve over something that was wrong. And then I have come full circle, and we don't have a Christmas tree anymore. We do very little to change our house. I get poinsettias in. I might put a wreath on the door. And we don't give presents. I gave up giving presents a long time ago. But I do give gifts at Thanksgiving time. And I'll tell you truthfully, this non-Christmas of Christmas, the non-Christmasing, has really been a blessing in disguise because I'm not tired. I'm not frantic. I'm not staying up the night before wrapping gifts. It's very relaxing for me as a woman. And I actually can enjoy anything that happens during that period. We don't have 59 parties to go to. We don't have to run hither and yon. And it's truly a very relaxing time. I will admit it takes a while to get used to it. So I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you not to be in a dither all the time around the 25th of December. I'm trying to help you to realize that that really isn't Jesus' birthday. And when you say you're celebrating Jesus' birthday, you're really not. You're just celebrating what you remember from childhood or what you want your children to remember. And you're getting extremely tired. Now, my husband wrote a tract, very interesting tract, a few years ago called They Have Taken Away My Lord. And we have a new printing of it. And if you'd like one, you just ask me for it. Call our John 10:9 number if you want to and ask for the Christmas tract, They Have Taken Away My Lord. And be sure to say that you heard this offer on Just for Women, or else they'll charge you for it because we're not always giving these tracts away free. Now, listen to what Dr. D.A. Waite, my husband, has said. Christmas comes but once a year. So goes a line from a secular poem about Christmas. But in all of the Christmasing, how often do I ask myself the question, where is the Lord Jesus Christ in Christmas today? Mary Magdalene, when seeking the Lord Jesus Christ at the tomb, was asked why she wept. And she said, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. John 20, verse 13. Inwardly I weep also. For in the season known as Christmas time, even born again and fundamentalist, Bible-believing Christians seem to take away my Lord. Truthfully and honestly, I know not where they have laid him. They have taken away my Lord with Santa Claus, with his bowl full of jelly, stomach, his red costume, his white beard, his ho-ho-ho, his magical and phony flying reindeer, his false promises to little children who sit upon his knee, his pretended omnipresence, his part in getting moms, dads, and children into the stores to spend their money, his disguise which often hides his own personal wickedness or waywardness. Old Saint Nick has taken away my Lord. The men who play the part of Santa Claus are often called Saint Nicholas, and frequently are far from deserving the right to have innocent, believing, precious little children sit on their laps, confiding to them their innermost secrets and fondest dreams and wishes. Santa Claus makes us forget the Savior. Yes, with Mary of old I cry out, they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. They have taken away my Lord with the Christmas tree. Some buy tall trees, some short, some real, and some artificial. But be it green, red, white, or silver, most of us, even born-again Christians, have their Christmas trees. Decorations include expensive light bulbs, balls, tinsels, popcorn, stars, sparklers, and so on. But we say we must have a tree. Somehow we think a tree is necessary for the spirit of Christmas, whatever that is. Despite the fire hazards involved, the expense, the shedding on the carpet, and all the rest of the brother's father involved, we must have a tree. We must have a tree. A Christmas tree. Christmas trees make us forget the Savior. I say with Mary of old, they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Now, and as aside from the reading, I know from personal experience what it's like to have a Christmas tree cause great havoc in a family. One of my sons, about 7-8 years ago, was burned severely because of a Christmas tree. So Christmas trees can cause much pain, and they can leave in our minds much paganism. Now getting back to the reading. They have taken away my Lord with gift-giving. Depending upon the financial resources available and the families involved, gift-giving is stressed, pushed and exalted beyond all possible measure. The ones that push the hardest for such gift-giving are the stores, of course, who have a vested interest in the profits which accrue most certainly in such booming sales. Before Thanksgiving Day has come, there often begins the incessant, inescapable bombardment of sensational appeals to encourage children and mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers, all people, to buy, buy, buy. Even though people don't really need anything, a present is a must. Even though the family may be deeply in debt, owing many stores in the city, still a present is a must. Even though the recipients may rather choose their own present, a present is a must. Even though it may mean going back to the bank and borrowing money and paying it back with interest, yet gift givers must keep up with the Joneses and give, give, give. The pressures are all around to do so. Often this buying and giving does not make this time of the year merriest, but saddest. Your gift had better be the most expensive, the most novel, or the prettiest, or you haven't made it in the race for gift-giving excellence. Such gift-giving makes us forget the Savior. I say with Mary of old, they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him.
Wonderful birth, to a manger he came. God's boundless love for a world sick with sin, pleading with sinners to let him come in. Wonderful name he bears, wonderful cross.
Yes, Jesus is a wonderful Lord. He's my Savior, and I'm under His care. Are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite. Sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over this same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike, that every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth himself. Romans 14, 5, 6, and 7. If you remember our last program, I was reading you a tract, which you can have if you ask for it. Just call our 800 number and tell them you've been listening to Just for Women. The tract was written by my husband, Pastor D.A. Waite, and it's called They Have Taken Away My Lord, found in John 20, 13. We see that they have taken away my Lord with Santa Claus. They have taken away my Lord with the Christmas tree. They have taken away my Lord with gift-giving. The world needs my Lord instead of Santa Claus, my husband writes. Santa Claus, the reindeers, and his helpers are cheap substitutes for genuine charity, goodwill, and ability to give what is best suited for the people involved. The Lord Jesus Christ is genuine. My Lord and Savior is no jolly red philanthropist saying, ho, ho, ho. The Son of God is sinless. No one could rightly accuse him of sinning or being an evil person. He has genuine love for all the little children and their moms and dads. He pleads with them, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. So that they might become saved and possess eternal life. That's why Jesus died. This is what people need the most, even though many of them do not realize it. He is a merciful and faithful high priest, and can keep in confidence any secret that the little children or even older people would want to whisper in his ear in prayer. He is worthy of our trust and worth coming unto him. He also supplies our need. As the wise men of old, we all should say of him, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. Luke 2:15. The Lord Jesus Christ truly is better than any Santa Claus, and we sincerely need him. The world needs my Lord cross instead of the Christmas tree. Instead of the Christmas tree, which has pagan origins, people need to look to another tree, the cruel cross on which the Prince of Glory died. There, God the Father showed his love to a whole world which was lost in the depth and degradation of sin. That cross was not decorated with twinkling lights of various colors, yellow, red, green, blue, white. On that day, God the Father blew out all the fuses in the world. There was nothing but gross darkness. At noon on that day of days when Jesus was hanging on the cross between heaven and earth, bearing the sins of the world in his own sinless body, he had no personal appeal to the human eye, nor was there any form or comeliness that we should desire him. Isaiah 53:2. Yet by looking in simple childlike faith to the Savior who suffered there for our sins, we can have redemption and forgiveness from all our guilt. When we depart this life, we can be assured of heaven and eternal life the minute we receive him. John 1:12. As the Apostle Paul, we too should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16. But we should sing with the hymn writer, in the cross of Christ I glory, because that blessed cross is much better than any Christmas tree we could possibly have on Christmas. The world needs my Lord's gift of eternal life more than any other gift. In the midst of all our gift-giving, the most important gift of all, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23, is often neglected or even overlooked. The gifts of cars, computers, CDs, television, camcorders, radios, shoes, clothes, toys, games, gadgets, refrigerators, diamond rings, houses, and other things cannot compare with the Lord Jesus Christ's gift of eternal life, which he provided on his cross. This gift of eternal life is available to any person who believes on and receives Christ as Savior. John 1:12, John 3:16. Do you, my friend, dear mother, dear daughter, dear grandmother, do you have that gift? If not, why not? Just say to the Lord of heaven and earth, I am a sinner. I know I cannot save myself. I know I need the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior because I agree that I am a sinner before Thee. I believe Thy Son died on the cross and shed His blood as a sacrifice for my sins. I accept and receive Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as my Savior from sin right now. I believe John 3:16, which says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. According to Thy promise in John 3:16, I claim by faith the everlasting life, O Father in heaven. Thou hast promised me that verse. If you prayed sincerely that simple prayer of faith and genuinely accepted Christ as your Savior, dear friend, please call me, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and ask to talk to my husband or to me, Pastor Waite, or me, Mrs. Waite, and we can discuss with you more about this great salvation. Or drop us a line telling us of your personal trust in the Savior. 900 Park Avenue, P-A-R-K Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. Just for Women. Write to Just for Women. Oh, friend, I trust that you have trusted in my Savior today. Gertrude Sanborn wrote a beautiful poem called Jesus, My Lord, and I'd like to read it to you today. Into a world aloof and cold, the loving Savior came, born in a stable, all alone, with nothing of rank or fame. The poorest of shepherds beheld him there, and cattle stood mute by his bed. The dear Son of God was born in a barn, and there he cradled his head. In the body prepared by our God, he wearied and hungered and cried. In likeness of flesh, he walked to the cross, and there he suffered and died. Though dead and away 3 days and 3 nights, the tomb could not hold God's dear Son. He arose and ascended, and now lives on high, a proof that his work here was done. Now living in me, who believed and was saved, abiding and taking control. This wonderful one who was born in a barn is my Savior and keepeth my soul. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. No wonder John the Baptist could look at Jesus and say, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? If so, praise him. Praise him this season. Don't forget him. If you have not, why not? I'm in his care. Are you?
Been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over this same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
The simple world one holy, wondrous day. And from the Virgin's womb was born in Bethlehem's manger hay. He left his father's glorious throne and mansions of the sky, was born a holy, sinless child to live and grow and die. Upon the cross, one awful day, God's Lamb, He bore my sins away. 3 days and nights, death held Him prey till dawned the resurrection day. He broke the bands of sin that day and triumph rolled the stone away. The Lord of life, death could not keep. He rose a victory over the deep. O glorious Savior, victorious Lord, eternal triumph, incarnate Word, He set me free, gave victory, Now I too shall live, his face to see. It's that time of the year again when sleigh bells jingle and snow glistens, when nights are silent and skies speak angel songs. It's that time of the year again when we who know the scriptures find ourselves at odds with the popular concept of Christmas lore. Oh, I don't know, but for some reason I've been thinking of Mary of Bethany, the one cumbered about with much serving. You can read about her in Luke 10:38-42. Do you remember? She was entertaining the Lord Jesus Christ in her home. How Martha wanted everything ship-shape and according to the etiquette of the day. Her feet were running in all directions. Her fingers were flying. Her brain was whirling. Upon her face was that painted Merry Christmas, Happy New Year smile. Only it wasn't Christmas or New Year's that day. Preparations were slowing down. Things were not going well. Mary, her sister, had disappeared. Where had she vanished? Much to Martha's amazement, her sister was discovered sitting at the feet of their guest, oblivious to the unfinished household tasks at hand. Perturbed is not the word for Martha's turmoil at discovering her sister sitting instead of serving. This sister, drinking in every word of the Master, was inconsiderate and lazy, Martha thought. Oh my, hadn't Jesus Christ himself taught that his followers should minister? Were not they to take the lowly place, the humble spot, the servant's stand? But upon this occasion, Mary's actions were condoned, and Martha, the servant, were rebuked. Martha was burdened and anxious, over-entertaining, with fears, failures, forgetfulness, and figgy pudding. It makes me wonder if we who attempt big slashes for the Christmas holidays should not rethink what is important. I've been thinking about another Mary, have you? You know, the one who lived in Nazareth many years ago. What if she had been too cumbered with serving? What if her burdens had been more important? What if she had not been still to let Gabriel speak to her? What if she had refused to be a good, willing handmaid of the Lord? Mary's good part was not an easy part. It was not an acceptable part. It was not a coveted part, that part of being a virgin mother. What if the shepherds in Boaz's fields had refused to leave their sheep? What if they had preferred to stay with their flock and not seek after the Christ child? What if they had ignored the angel's message or disbelieved their call? The shepherds would never have been touched by the joy of glorifying and praising God for the things that they had seen and heard. They would have never had years of reflection over the angelic words, heavenly hosts and the Messiah. Earth. What if just Joseph, intent on Mary and his personal humiliation, had proceeded to break their betrothal? What if he lacked the patience to listen to an angel speaking in a dream? What if his shock over Mary's pregnancy had driven sleep from his door? What if the hurried hassle of such news had burdened him, cumbered him with earthly cares? Who would have been Mary's protector? Who would have sheltered Jesus until his maturity? Joseph stopped still to listen to the voice of God. He heard the message of the angel. He rose from sleep to believe that Mary would give birth to the long prayed for and sought for Messiah. Then, if you remember, the Magi left home and hearth, work and wife, to pursue a king and give gifts. If they had become cumbered, worried, or burdened with the obstacles, they would have canceled their plans and fled back to the east without a glimpse of the governor in baby flesh. Mary of Nazareth pondered and accepted her awful commission. Martha was cumbered about much serving. A frustration from over-entertaining. You know how that is. She appeared hyperactive in the confusion. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Luke 10:40b. She was too busy to see the one she was serving. She'd rather use fine linens and serve seconds on the gourmet dishes than choose that good part that could not be taken away. The shepherds took time to listen and believe, didn't they? The sleeping sheep held no hold on their flight to Bethlehem. The joy of a newborn drew them to a manger in swaddling clothes. Joseph took time to be still, to rest, to tune his ears to God's call. Only then could the angel speak God's message. Only then could Joseph love Mary more. Only then, after quietness, did he believe. The wise men had a vision of a new star. Yes, they acted. Nothing could halt their determination, their goal. Nothing. No one. Not even that appointee of Mark Anthony, the Tetrarch of Galilee. Thank you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men and women love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Dear friend, as we close this year up, take inventory. I'm under God's care. Are you? That's one of the most important questions that I can ever ask you. Think about it.
Have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over this same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.